Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text number 38. This is the end of Dhruva's petition before Narada. Chapter 8 of Canto 4. Nunam bhavan bhagavato yongaja para meshtitnatenaha vitudan atate vinam hitaya jagato kavat tor kavat Nunam bhavan bhagavato yongaja parameshtinaha vitudan atate vinam hitiya jagator kavat mitaya. Nunam, certainly, bhavan, your honor, bhagavataha, of the Lord, yaha, that which, angajaha, born from the body, parameshtanaha, Lord Brahma, vittudan, playing on, atate, travel all over. Vinam, a musical instrument. Hitaya, for the welfare. Jagataha, of the world. Arkavat, like the sun. Very nice verse. My dear Lord, you are a worthy son of Lord Brahma, and you travel playing on your musical instrument, the Veena, for the welfare of the entire universe. You are like the sun, which rotates in the universe for the benefit of all living beings. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Dhruva Maharaj, although a young child, expressed his hope that he might be offered the benediction of a kingdom which would exceed in opulence those of his father and grandfather. He also expressed his gladness that he had met such an exalted person as Narada, whose only concern was to illuminate the world like the sun, which rotates all over the universe for the purpose of benefiting the inhabitants of all planets. Narada Muni travels all over the universe for the sole purpose of performing the best welfare activity for the entire universe by teaching everyone how to become a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, Dhruva Maharaj felt fully assured that Narada Muni could fulfill his desire, even though the desire was very extraordinary. Paragraph. The example of the sun is very significant. The sun is so kind that he distributes his sunshine everywhere without consideration. Dhruva Maharaj requested Narada Muni to be merciful to him. He pointed out that Narada travels all over the universe just for the purpose of doing good to all conditioned souls. He requested that Narada Muni show his mercy by awarding him the benefit of his particular desire. Dhruva Maharaj was strongly determined to fulfill his desire, and it was for that purpose that he had left his home and palace. Nunam bhavan bhagavato nyon gaja paramesh janaha vittu dan atate vinam hitaya jagator kavat. My dear Lord, you are a worthy son of Lord Brahma, and you travel playing on your musical instrument, the Veena, for the welfare of the entire universe. You are like the sun, which rotates in the universe for the benefit of all living beings. The sun's function is to give light, and where there's light, darkness is dispelled. In comparison, Narada is compared to the sun, who is giving knowledge of Krishna or devotional service to Krishna, which is like light. It takes away the darkness of material existence. Narada is just a small boy, but he's not only from a royal family, he's only two generations away from Narada. He's like, you know, grandfather Narada, because his father, Uttanapada, had a father named Swayambhuva Manu, and Swayambhuva Manu is a direct son of Brahma, as is Narada. So, his granduncle or something. So, he knows very well who Narada is and what his qualifications are, even before meeting him, and he's expressing his great appreciation for Narada's qualifications. And he sees Narada as a person who's giving light, like the sun. There's a problem. Narada's already offered the light, and he said, no thanks. I want another. It's almost like, you know, reflected light. I don't want the direct light. I want, you know, put a mirror over there and reflect some light over here so I can get indirect. I can get what I want. It's very subtle. Just very quickly, this is opposed. His program is opposed to Lord Chaitanya's program. Na danam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani, bhavatad bhakti rahayi tuki tuayi. That's Lord Chaitanya. We're followers of Lord Chaitanya, and that's our teaching. We're not followers of Dhruva Maharaj, where the teaching is, you have this desire, go for it. Go to Vishnu. Get that desire fulfilled, because he's going to fulfill it. Because he's got a whole basket full of desire-fulfilling capacity and so forth. Or say the same thing in a different way. The living entity in the material existence is thinking of himself as Purusha instead of what he is, as Prakriti. Prakriti means nature or energy. And there's the energetic, or that Purusha. And the Purusha, the energetic, enjoys his energy. Living entity, in different dresses, male or female, wants to be Purusha, when in fact male or female, we're Prakriti. We're in relation to Krishna, we're His energy. He's the energetic. And because we're His energy, we are meant, our existence is to bring Him enjoyment. And we're thinking differently. We're thinking, I want to enjoy. I want to be the, not only I want to be, I'm meant to be the enjoyer. That's my reason for existence, to enjoy. I'm the enjoyer. And I've got this dress. You know, it can be the male, female, or it can be the, I'm a Brahmana, I'm a Kshatriya, I'm a Vaishya, or Shudra. What Chaitanya taught, Kiva Vipra, Kiva Nyashi, Shudra Kene Noi, Ye Krishna Tattva, Netase Guru Hoi. My real identity is not the designation of the body, or the subtle body, the mind. Now over here we have Dhruva saying, I'm a Kshatriya. We'll do it differently. Sarvopadi Vinir Bhuktam Tat Paratwena Nirvalam Rishikina Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. Definition of bhakti given by Narada in the Narada Pancharatra is, it starts with bhakti is letting go of the designations of the body and the mind, like in this case, Kshatriya. And instead, what do you have left? If you take away the bodily designation, you have the spiritual designation. I don't become zero, I become the eternal servant of Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. This body is meant for service. Over here we have Dhruva saying, this body is meant for becoming a king, not just an ordinary king. I mean, it's really, the irony is very deep. He's wanting the son of Brahma, Narada's the son of Brahma, to arrange, through the mercy of Vishnu, for a kingdom better than the father of Narada. And you can do it, Naradaji. You've got the son-like power. I want a kingdom. Doesn't sound like devotional service. Sounds like business. Again, from yesterday, the subtle distinction that elevates one to the position of pure devotion, Shuddha Bhakti, from Kama Mishra Bhakti, or Sakam Bhakti, is, well, it's two things. It's the submission that if Krishna desires, I'll accept the position. I've got a strong desire over here, but only if Krishna offers it to me, I'll accept it. But I've got this agenda going. I mean, and as I'm doing my sadhana, I've got this strong sankalpa, this strong intention, desire. I want a kingdom desire. And I'd like him to fulfill it if he so chooses. So the operative principle is the submission if he so chooses. The other operative principle that's very important, that's illustrated in this verse, and that's the submission and great regard and respect for Narada. Because Vishnu isn't going to deliver without his devotee, Narada. I mean, he can. He doesn't need to deliver through Narada, but he chooses to do that by the grace of Narada. Dhruva gets the association of Vishnu, and he gets his kingdom, and he becomes freed from that desire, which was Narada's instruction in the previous verses that Dhruva rejected. Give up that desire. Don't act upon that desire. Don't harbor that desire. Oh, I can't do that. I am this upadhi. By the grace of Narada, he went beyond that. And by his submission to Narada. So these are subtle, but critical points, at least in consciousness. So now we'll go back to Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Anyabhilasha chashunyam jnana karma dhyanavratam. That's a high teaching. That one should abandon completely all speculative knowledge. Same as what Lord Chaitanya accepted from Ramananda Roy. Jnane prayasa udapasya namanta eva. Prayasa means endeavor. Jnane prayasa, the endeavor for speculative knowledge, should be given up. Just like your question yesterday of trying to understand Krishna's will. Jnane prayasa udapasya namanta eva. That endeavor to understand Krishna, or to understand God, to understand the will of God, to understand life, by speculative endeavor is to be abandoned. We put something in its place. We don't like leave ourselves bankrupt. We put the process of hearing and chanting in the association of great souls. Mahatsevam dwaram ahur vimuktes. In Rishabhdev's teaching, that's his way of expressing it. By association with mahats, great souls, mahatmas, the mahatmas, daivim prakritam ashrita is the definition given by Krishna. Mahatmanastamam parata, daivim prakritim ashrita. So, daivim prakritim is the spiritual potency, spiritual energy. And the spiritual energy is female. And the material energy is female. We want to be the enjoyer of the material or the spiritual. But we're not the enjoyer of it either. We're also prakriti. We're para prakriti, but we're prakriti. We're also enjoyed. And so therefore we're to use these senses and to use our animating capacity, the life force of the soul, subordinated to service of Krishna. Whatever Krishna wants. If that's our intention, prayasa, if that's our intention and our endeavor, then we'll leave behind the darkness and we'll enter into the light. Tamasi ma jyotir gama. From the Shruti mantras, one should give up darkness and go to the light. Jyotir gama. And from that Shruti mantra comes Back to Godhead, the title of Prabhupada's magazine. Jyotirgama, Back to Godhead. So, in spiritual process, there is something that we give up and something that we accept. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. In the language of Padma Purana, bhakti, that surrender unto Krishna, has six different angas or limbs, and the first two of them mentioned, those things that are unfavorable for devotional service, you discard them. Things that are favorable for devotional service means pleasing Krishna with our senses. Those that are favorable We accept them. Something that we let go of and something that we accept. Simply on the basis of the indication of higher authority. And the higher authority is Scripture. And we understand Scripture through the medium of those that are intimately associated with Krishna, through the cyclic succession. We understand the Scripture through that lens, through that medium. And that's what we accept. And that's what we reject, based upon that authority. And without that proper utilization of authority, then things get, you know, it's not only on the filters on this side, it can be the lack of transparency on the other end. So one must be very careful when proceeding. But if the desire, now this is something that I wanted to speak about, is desire and the role of desire. Material desire leads to material existence. Material desire means desire apart from the Lord, desire apart from Krishna. Now we're part and parcel of Krishna, and naturally our desire is in relation to Krishna, but if we desire apart from Krishna, that's material desire. And that material desire leads to getting a body, it leads to fruitive activity, it leads to implication in the laws of karma, and repeated birth and death, and all the miseries of material existence. Just from that little subtle thing called desire. What's going on here is Dhruva's placing his desire before the light of Narada. Not saying, please take away the desire. Saying, please fulfill the desire. And it's, you know, it's a little, I don't know what the right way to say it is. It's not straight. It's a little, maybe, not. It's a little skewed. It's not crooked. Because he's being very clear what he wants. But he's saying that, Narada, you are like the sun. You travel about and you give light. You just move about existence. Nunam bhavan bhagavato yonga yongaja parameshtatam vidutan vitudan atate vinam. You move about just playing upon your vina all over the whole universe. Arka vat, like the sun, giving light. So, that is, you're just doing service for the welfare of everyone. And I'm one part of everyone, and I've got this desire. It's actually his welfare to relieve him of that desire, but he doesn't want to let go. The end result is he lets go. But it's because of these two other operative principles mentioned. Krishna, if you so desire, and incredible respect and gratitude to Narada for giving him the means to reach Vishnu. That dissolves the desire, although it's in the mix at the beginning. So, back to Lord Chaitanya. It's not our preferred position. Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim. That stage comes in Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastakam. It comes after Trinadapi suni chena toror api sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. It comes from a desire to take full shelter of the holy name, and trying to take full shelter of the holy name, recognizing one's very tiny capacity to do so, one's inability to do so alone, therefore greatly humble, greatly tolerant, greatly respectful, devoid of false prestige, taking full shelter in the holy name, then one can have this nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, and mean it. not like pretend it, but mean it, it from the heart. When that stage comes, then the desire of Krishna, the will of the Supreme Lord, can be better understood. Until that glorious evolutionary stage of our spiritual advancement comes, we certainly are dependent upon spiritual guidance and teaching to understand the will of Krishna. The desire is, on the one hand, it's concomitant with the soul. On the other hand, if it's apart or dissonant with Krishna's desire, it's like a rock in your shoe. You've had rocks in your shoes. You know, you try to pretend it's not, like it'll just drop out. And especially with sandals, you know, just I'll jiggle my foot and it'll drop out. But when it doesn't drop out and just every step hurts, you stop. You take the rock out of your shoe. Desire, separate from Krishna. It's painful to the soul. At the end, when Narada gets his desire fulfilled, he's weeping and crying in great sorrow that he held on to that desire. He let that be his motivator, or in the mix at least, because he had other very elevated, by the mercy of Narada, qualifications that carried him beyond that desire. But holding on to that desire was very painful. Holding on to material desire even if we take a path of regulating that desire, because that's what the varna and ashram system is, for that matter, including sannyas. It's a position within the varna and ashram order. There's a particular ashram, sannyas ashram. And that's not who we are, or brahmachari ashram or grihastha ashram. It's to help us regulate our lives. We accept it. But we should not invest our identity in that. It's not who we are. It's an assist to carry us to a higher position, free from that conception. And even while we're passing through that acceptance of that those regulations, it's not the essence of who we are, nor the goal. We shouldn't hold on to the desires that may be represented in this varna or that ashram. Our training is to continue functioning in a proper way according to varna and ashram, but see to the satisfaction of the personality of Godhead. And even in this discussion with Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, one of the verses that Ramananda Roy offers is varnashram, daivi varnashram. And Lord Chaitanya says, no, that's external. Doesn't mean disregard, but it does mean that's not the essence. What's the essence? What's the goal of life? Was the question. That which helps us get to the goal of life is not the goal of life. The goal of life is the goal of life. And being situated, at least striving to become situated, in this position where speculative knowledge is abandoned, the hope for happiness through fruitive endeavors is abandoned, and we continue in our position. Prabhupada strongly makes this point when discussing this verse. Staying within one's position is just fine. I was thinking about this just this morning, that a very strong emphasis is there in impersonal teaching, in Shankara's teaching, that you cannot make progress in spiritual life as a householder. If you want to make progress in spiritual life, you must renounce, because the world is false. You want to go into the realm of satya, you have to reject jagat. Within our Vaishnava teaching, tapasya is also tapo divyam putrakayena satvam shudyat. Austerity is necessary. It's necessary. It's not optional. It's necessary. And in any form of life, have a body and you're going to have austerity. So regulate that austerity for the satisfaction of Krishna, that it's elevating. But it doesn't matter this ashram, that ashram. Prabhupada will again and again refer to Arjuna. He was a grahastha. He was a warrior. He was skilled in fighting. And that's the person that Krishna chose to disclose Bhagavad Gita again. On the planet, there were many sannyasis, renunciates, yogis, sages, rishis. He didn't choose them. He chose Arjuna. And he was very clear why he chose Arjuna. Because he's my devotee and my very dear friend. So the aspiration is, or the qualification is, to become friendly towards Krishna, or to have Krishna see one in a friendly way. It's the relationship with Krishna, of service and love. That's the qualification. So stay in what sthane stita kshuti gatam tanavan manovi, or stay in one's position and hear these messages. Stay rightly situated in one's duties and cultivate careful quality hearing of transcendental messages from Krishna, and one's devotion will be awakened and the designations will become insignificant. See if there's any discussion. Yeah.
I've been speaking about how material desire and the various attachments that follow material desire colors our vision of reality.
Yep.
And part of that reality is great souls, and you were explaining today how that is one of the operative principles in being successful in achieving the mercy of Vishnu. So my question is, how do we, you were speaking about, you used the word regard, so my question is, how do we maintain proper regard for great souls that mean a very important operative principle when we have a lot of material desires and attachments? It seems very difficult to maintain.
Yes, it is. It's very treacherous territory. Because it's treacherous, because without association, we're in the soup. And with association, where there's not proper regard, we're making offenses, we're further in the soup. So we have to be vigilant. Really? I can't be lazy? That's right, you can't be lazy. You have to be vigilant. But the impetus for that vigilance is wanting to get out of the soup, recognizing there is a reality beyond this one. And I want that. And in elevated association, my desire to achieve that becomes stronger. So it's a relationship, receiving and giving. Impersonalism kills it. No relationship. Because relationship requires two, and you can't have two because there's only one, so no relationship. Okay? Yeah.
Follow-up point, just something that may happen to us practically. Had Narada Muni not complied with his material desire, would his regard still be the same? For an example, so if I'm holding on to material desires, I'm associating with great souls, and they're not seeming to comply with certain desires I may be having, or they're giving instructions that don't comply with those desires, it seems that the regard can go down, and then offenses can come.
Sure.
So it's the same question, it's just a clarification point. It seems like there's some necessity to really strive to let go of material desires, otherwise I wanted to know that.
That's our instruction. Our instruction from Lord Chaitanya is to let go of those desires. And if we don't let go of those desires when instructed to do so by Lord Chaitanya, where does that put us? We're compromised. So, yesterday we were speaking about going the next step. You know, as far as Dhruva was concerned, there's only one step. There's no, you know, there's not, I didn't have to consider anything else but, you know, getting that kingdom. In this case, with Dhruva and Narada, Narada's expert. And in Dhruva's case, these two components were there. So along with Narada's expertise and Dhruva's two components, he was carried beyond that desire. Even though he was saying, I don't want to let go, he was carried beyond it. So expertise and compassion, both on the part of the great soul, helps carry the person who is the recipient of that great soul's association to another level, provided the right components are there. Kirtida, you've got something? Huh? He asked the question already. Are you satisfied? Okay. Yeah.
In this case, Dhruva is asking for fulfillment of a material desire. If Krishna so desires, or Krishna so fulfills. If Krishna offers it to me. And in the case of Maharaj Chitraketu, he also has a strong material desire, but that component doesn't seem to be there.
No.
Even when Angira Muni comes and he's...
Yeah, yes.
Could you shed some light on both these?
Well, it has to do with the expertise of the individuals who are giving mercy. It's not a... I'd say it real simply. Giving mercy is not a cookie-cutter thing. You know, there's only one cookie. there's unlimited varieties of ways that mercy can be given. King Prachinibhari is another example. Narada chose another path. So there's, and which of the unlimited paths does a mercy giving person move down? It's their expertise and the inspiration from Krishna and their purity and their transparency of Krishna's will and their ability to carry that will and deliver it. In the case of Chitraketu, it was understood by Angira, at least, that he didn't even try to impart transcendental knowledge to Chitraketu. He just, you know, gave him and took away so that then transcendental knowledge could be imparted. And then after the transcendental knowledge, devotional teaching was given. In the case of Dhruva's father, Narada didn't go tell Dhruva's father transcendental knowledge. He just said, you know, don't panic. In a short period of time, your son is going to come back and he's going to deliver you. So just sit tight. Everything's okay. So different according to circumstances is the principle, and you know how to discern it requires expertise and requires connection with Supersoul. So Supersoul can guide that expert deliverer of mercy. And there's no like formula for that. Krishna channel. The general principle is fan the spark. So that's what Narada did here. And with Chitraketu, it was create the spark to be fanned. Because he was religious, but he was attached. So to carry it to another level, it was create the spark. And it was distress. Yes?
Guru Maharaj, in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, we hear...
In the case of Dhruva Maharaj,
we hear that at the end of... When his desire was fulfilled, he got purified, that he didn't... Really, he was in fact repenting that why did I ask such a thing?
He was lamenting that the garbage truck is louder. That airplane and garbage truck, double louder.
He was repenting that why did I ask the Supreme Lord for a such small desire or a material desire?
Yeah.
So evidently the purification has happened. At that time, is that correct?
By that time, the purification had happened, yes.
So in our case, even before or even during the sadhaka stage or bhajana kriya stage, some of our desires get fulfilled and we don't know what to do with those and get proudful and leave
yes,
the
it
service.
Happens, doesn't it? Yes, it happens. And we don't know what to do with it when the material desires are fulfilled, that's your point?
Often we misuse or we...
Sure. We're fools. So?
So.
What else is new?
How not to be a fool.
How not to be a fool? Recognize that there's a tendency... And by gradual purification, that tendency will be checked. Scripture is there to guide us when that tendency arises, or before the tendency arises, before the tendency manifests itself. We have guidance, qualified persons who are helping us to, you know, not be so foolish, be a little less foolish than we would otherwise be, and stay the course. One who strives by right means is assured of success. And in between where we are and success, there's going to be some foolishness. It's not like, oh, it's okay, I can be foolish. It's bona fide. Maharaj said. We try to check. We take the measures that will help diminish and continue. And don't become overwhelmed with lamentation that, oh, I did something foolish again. There should be regret. There should be prevention and regret if and when it happens, and continue. And there's the light, and we're moving in the darkness. When we stray off the narrow path, we go back onto the narrow path. The rectification, according to Nectar of Devotion, for some wrongdoing on the path of devotional service is devotional service. And we can add, you know, nice amount of regret and continue on in devotional service. Learn from the lesson and continue. What do you think of that? Okay. Yes?
Guru Maharaj, thank you for this class. During this class and question and answer session, one thing was coming to my mind. Like, it's so difficult to understand Krishna's will. The only way is if we can go through a bona fide spiritual master, like in case of Dhruva Maharaj and Narad Muni. My question is, though, like after following the instruction of his spiritual master, Narad Muni, all the desires were gone from the heart of Dhruva Maharaj, but still he was implicated by the desires, and he has to rule 36,000 years. So, I mean, how I can understand this? Like, even after doing a devotional services, following the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master, still we are implicated by the reactions of our desires.
So you're making a statement, you're not asking a question.
I need to understand this statement.
I'll say, in spiritual life, things are not cookie cutter. It's not always the same thing again and again and again. So what happened in Dhruva Maharaj's case was one thing. But what might happen in another individual's case might be another thing. Once we're in the realm of the internal potency, it's Krishna's call, whatever he wants. It doesn't have to be like the Dhruva pattern. Krishna or Vishnu wanted Dhruva to accept the kingdom. He had a brother who could have become the king. Supreme Lord wanted Dhruva to become the king. And your language was, he's implicated by, and it's true, but at the same time, you know, it's now in the internal potency. It's not just, it's not a karmic reaction for his not having let go of that desire. It's the internal potency now. It's a whole other set of rules. right?
Thank you.
Something else? Yes.
Maharaj, this is based on, slightly inspired by Madhav Mangal Prabhu's question from yesterday. Like he was telling, we see the world through the colored lenses,
yes,
of our past conditioning. And I was thinking more along, when we are sharing with others, then how do we ensure that what we are speaking is not based on previous conditioning, but something that we have definitely heard from the disciplic succession, otherwise it's like a disservice to the other individual.
Gotcha. Two things, minimally. Don't delude yourself, or say it positively, remind yourself of your condition. Don't delude yourself into something that you're not. Be mindful of your condition. And that is, what I've received is through my filters, and what I'm presenting is only what I've received, which is through my filters. That's my limitation. Then the other is a sincere wish to represent transparently as possible. It's that honesty and the sincere desire of service will improve the conditioning. It'll alleviate. It'll further purify one. It's purifying to hear, it's also purifying to chant. You receive and you offer that which you have received. Both are purifying. So do that as a service of purification, self-purification. And to whatever degree my filters have been reduced, I'm able to transmit something that's of value as a service. And wishing that my dear Lord Krishna may become a better instrument. That means, may I become purified. So the coloring, the fruitive intention, the desire of separate from you is diminished and gone. Okay? Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.